Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
Would you bow with me as we pray? Almighty God, holy, holy, holy is your name in all the earth. Father, we thank you for your greatness, for your goodness, for your mercy, for your everlasting love. Father, we pray that you'll help us to never ever forget that none of it do we deserve, but it's all because of who you are and your love for us. Fathers, we've come together this morning. We thank you for this beautiful day, another day of life, another day of health, and another day to worship and praise you and to learn your will. As we proceed through the remainder of this hour, Father, we pray your blessing on everything that's said and done. And may the words of our mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. For it's in the name of your Son, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. We have a special privilege today. You know, God has blessed us, and we have been doing so well. And it's very easy when a congregation is doing this well to become consumed with yourself and forget about all of those people out there that don't know the joy that you and I have in being Christians. And so we want to keep you as exposed as possible to as many outreaches as possible so that you know what's going on out there and what opportunities there are. And Brother Jerry Starling, he's a brother that I've known for a whole lot of years, and Marilyn actually worked with him. Didn't you work in the same office for a while? And so they worked together for many years, and Jerry's served as an elder in the area, has served as a preacher in the area, and is now retired, sort of, and is working with Eastern European Missions. And he and his wife are here today, and he's going to share with us some information about that. So without further ado, Brother Jerry Starling.
I'd like to introduce what I have to say with a few verses from Isaiah, where God, speaking through Isaiah, said, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." In the early days of Eastern European Mission, we were an illegal organization. You see, smuggling is an illegal activity. And we began as an organization that smuggled Bibles behind what was then known as the Iron Curtain into those countries that were dominated by the Soviet Union, the communist regime that fell in 1989 and 90. Coincidentally, we had our beginning in the same year that the Berlin Wall was built. And that wall became a symbol of the communist oppression of Eastern Europe. It was built not to keep people out, but to keep people in. And that was the purpose of the Iron Curtain, as Winston Churchill called it. In those days, we had to depend on this promise from God, that my word will not return to me void, but will accomplish its purpose. We weren't able to follow all of the Bibles that we smuggled in. And according to our best estimates, that was between 6 and 8 million copies in the 28 years after we began, before the walls came down. But yet we have enough anecdotal evidence to know that this promise was being kept. God does keep his promises. For example, there was the time that one brother had to make a trip, a business trip, down to Vienna, Austria, which was outside the Iron Curtain countries. As he approached the border on the train, as always, guards got on to check everyone's papers, and then they would pick just a few randomly to pat down and search their luggage. This time they picked him. And as they were searching through him and searching him and his belongings, they came across a book. "What's this?" "Well, it's my Bible." "A Bible? What's a man like you doing with a Bible? You don't need a Bible." And out the window it goes. 2 years later, that Bible showed up in his mailbox at home, along with a letter. The letter said, "Some children in our village were playing down by the track, and they found this Bible, and they brought it home. We didn't have a Bible, but we wanted one, and so we copied it. And there's some other people in our village that wanted a Bible, and they copied it. But now we're returning it to you, its rightful owner, with a prayer that you will forgive us for keeping it for so long." Sometime later, Lynn Camp, who was one of the original seven who began Eastern European Mission and now is our president, visited that village. What do you suppose he found there? He found a group of people worshiping God according to what they read in the Bible. God's word does not return to him void. Who was it that caused that guard to select that man that day? He had made the trip before without being searched. But that day, and then to throw it out the window at that particular spot where those children would find it and take it home to parents who wanted it badly enough to make a copy of it for their own use before returning it to its owner. This is our 51st year of operation. Last year was our 50th anniversary. We prepared a DVD last year. So it's a little bit dated, but not all that much. But it surveys that first 50 years of what we have done and what God has done in us and through us. So if we could have that now, we'll let you have a look at it, and we'll go from there.
In fact, that's the consistent thread that I see in Eastern European Mission from its very beginning until today. You know, our slogan today is "The Bible, we want everyone to get it." Now, maybe we didn't say it just exactly that way, but that was the idea, and that was the passion. People must have an opportunity to hear the gospel of the love of God in Jesus Christ. And that is what has driven Eastern European Mission through 50 years. And the personnel have changed, methods have changed, circumstances have changed as the wall has come down. But that was always the vision. We've had different leaders of Eastern European Mission with different personalities, but the passion was still the Bible. We want everyone to get it. That is the vision that seems to have caught on with so many people that hear the message. So thousands of Christians are our partners in this work. and they've joined in, but it's still that same singular vision. We want people to have a chance to read the Bible in their own language.
We accomplished getting God's Word into the hands of people who were literally hungering and thirsting for it. People who would ride all day on a train just to get a copy of the Bible. People tears would stream down their eyes when they would get one because they did not have a Bible. They had searched and wanted one for a long time, and we were able to provide that for them, plus other religious literature. We would get letters from people who had received the literature and the Bibles, and they would say things like, please send us more of this. This is so helpful in helping us to raise our children. We don't have anything like this here. And so Gwen came home and was sharing about the trip with me. And with tears in his eyes, he said to me, Gail, these people have either one Bible or a portion of a Bible or a handwritten portion of the Bible that... And that's all they have. And he said, how can they know what God expects of them if they don't have His Word? And if it's God's will, and I believe it is God's will, I'm going to see that these people have the Bible in their own language. We touched a lot of lives. We did. And we'll never know how many.
Чудови твій небес. Боже, я молю за Україну, Боже, молю Тебе за людей, тих прости, тих спаси.
The journey is continuing. Earlier this year, we had our seventh Million Dollar Sunday to put Bibles in two more states in Ukraine, but we'll come back to that later, hopefully. I'd like to focus now on one of our more exciting and more successful ministries and partnerships in Eastern Europe. This is the partnership that we have with a group that called themselves Mission Ukraine. It was begun by two American missionaries who moved to Donetsk, Ukraine, in the early days, soon after the communism fell. Donetsk has been a unique city for the gospel because the people there are quite receptive. And Denny Cruz and his partner were also successful. But they were a little bit unique among missionaries, at least of the missionaries that I have personally known, and they're different from what I was when I was a missionary. Let's wait a while on this. I want to set it up first. They went with a national vision, and they prayed that God would lead them to the kind of man that would be able to carry that work forward. I know when I went as a missionary to New Zealand many years ago, my vision was limited to the city and the congregation that I went to establish. I wanted to see if we couldn't establish a good, solid congregation with good leadership, and then I'd be gone and my job would be done. They had a national vision, and they prayed that God would lead them to such a man as this. This man, God began preparing even in the communist days. He went to the communist schools, and of course, and he said they talked about the Bible frequently. But it was always the Bible. That's a bad book. You don't want that. It's full of lies and myths. It's just not good for people. When he got to be a teenager, he began thinking something he could never say out loud in those days. A Bible. I wonder where I could get a copy of this book. I'd like to read it and see if it's as bad as they say it is. But he never saw a Bible until he was an adult. One day his wife brought one home. She had taken pity on a little old lady in a train station. She was trying to sell some of her very meager possessions to get something to eat. So she bought a book from her, and it was her Bible. She took it home, laid it on the table. I'm not sure how long it was there before Sasha, that's his nickname, his full name is Alexander Propachik, before he noticed it, but he picked it up. He began thumbing through it, reading bits and pieces here and there. And when he got into the Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, he said, "This book speaks to my heart." His life was a mess then, unemployed, living with his in-laws, and seemed to be going nowhere, although he had had real desires to enter medical school. But that wasn't happening. He'd lost control of his life, he felt. "But this book," he said, "speaks to my heart," and he began to study it devotedly and devouring it to such an extent that his wife literally thought that he had lost his mind with some sort of strange obsession. This went on for months, years, before he ever met a Christian of any kind. When he finally met Denny Cruz, he said to Denny on their second meeting, "Denny, do you think I need to be baptized?" "I think I need to be baptized." "Well, why do you say that, Sasha?" "Because that's what I read in my Bible." He was an atheist when he started reading the Bible, but he had come to faith in God and understood from reading the Scriptures how he needed to respond to God. Now, very quickly, with all of the study that he had done, this man began to teach and to preach in the congregation that Denny and I cannot remember his partner's name, excuse me. But anyway, he began to teach and to preach there. They got a TV program for him locally, and then they got a national TV program, and we'll show you what happened as a result of that now.
Changed my life. Bible just changed my heart, my attitude, my vision. God like sent me preach His good news.
Я очень рад нашей встрече. С вами снова программа «Церковь Христова» и я ее ведущий Александр Прокопчук. Я приглашаю вас прогуляться вместе со мной по городу и давайте поговорим о самом серьезном, о жизни.
Almost every day, 50, 60 letters. It shows like people hungry, you know, for God's word.
We have letters. Who wrote us these letters?
It's usually people who have big suffering, who have a pain in hearts. But God help us go through this and encourage us. And because we have many friends like you and many Christians who encourage us, we can do this and even try to do more.
Очень незагруженная. То есть, если посчитать, в расписании жирно выделено количество часов и темы.
It's about what God can do with anybody.
Если посчитать, то каждый день это будет где-то 5 часов. То есть, загруженности особой нет. Я прошу, чтобы каждый просто вовремя приходил в зал.
People are interested. People look for God. Maybe because Ukrainians have still problems, you know. Some people suffering. and have hard time, you know, and maybe it's help people seek for a God, look for a God. People love come to Black Sea, and special who want to be baptized. Like this year, we baptized 23 people.
Людмила, вы будете сейчас крещены во имя Отца и Сына и Святого Духа для прощения ваших грехов во имя Иисуса Христа. Аминь. Во имя Иисуса Христа. Аминь. 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 Во имя Иисуса Христа. Аминь. Поздравляю, поздравляю.
And it's a big encourage for us who continue worship to God. Can change situation in Ukraine, change all nations.
Okay. We began that partnership in 2005, about 2 years before I began working with Eastern European Mission. They came to our attention because they were using so much of our literature. They were going through so much, we had to say, well, what are these folks doing? And they were average. What they were doing was averaging about 300 responses per week to this TV program requesting literature. And we were supplying it. We just didn't know what we were giving it to, except that the church was using it. And we wanted to see how they were using it and see if there was anything we could do to expedite and to help. And we have. Not by taking over their work. We don't do that. But by partnering with them. For example, now we finance the seminar every year. We help to finance the TV program. We finance the magazine that they publish to send out to these new Christians. And in many other ways, we work with them. That's the way we work with churches. In the early days after the fall of communism, and there was a great surge of mission activity in Russia and Ukraine and all the rest of Eastern Europe, we were there to provide those missionaries, campaign workers, provide them with the tools that they needed to get their job done. But of course, things have kind of slowed down. When was the last time you heard about a campaign group going to one of those countries? It's just not happening as much now as it did back then. It was easy in those days to get an audience. Sometimes I think it was just because the Russians wanted to come and see if the Americans really did have horns. But anyway, as that work slowed down, God opened other doors for us. I wish I could go into all of these. We put teams every summer into some of the pioneer youth camps that teach Bible in the same camps that were established to indoctrinate children in communism. And parents come to camp directors after it and say, "What have you done with my kids? Because they're so much better behaved. What did you do in camp to make a difference?" And we, every year, we just distribute thousands and thousands of Bibles and other literature through the camps. But one of the most amazing things, as amazing as that camp work is, one of the most amazing things is the Bible in schools. We did not even dream of the possibility that we might be able to put Bibles into schools until a Russian minister of education in one of the administrative regions, they call them oblasts, we call them states. Of course, our states are more than just an administrative region of the federal government, but still a division like that of provinces. One of the ministers of education in one of these oblasts is located in southwest Siberia. Ask for Bibles in his schools. He had first asked for help in teaching his children something that would help them develop character and ethics, morality. So we prepared a set of curriculum guides that teachers could use based on biblical principles, but not really using the Bible, because we were thinking like Americans and thinking about what we could do in the schools here. He said, "This is good, but I need more. I want the Bible itself." Wow. For a whole state? And this was a fairly large state with lots of schools. And our first reaction was, we don't have the resources. That's when the idea of the $1 million Sunday came about. We said, we don't have the resources, but God does. And we'll go to the churches and say, we know you're strapped, we're strapped, but we have this opportunity. I was an elder at Northeast when this was going on. And Don Bone, then he was worshiping at Trenton today. Now he's worshiping at Lake Orion. But he came to our congregation and told us about this opportunity. And before I got out of the auditorium that day, people were already coming to me and saying, if you elders don't get behind this, something's wrong with you. And so we got behind this. Of course, they didn't have to convince me. I was already convinced by what I had heard. Chills went up my spine when I heard the opportunity. That was in 1998. Since then, we have put Bibles into 9 different states, 5 in Russia, 4 in Ukraine. But we also know of at least 7 others in Ukraine that are seriously considering formally requesting us to do this. Early last year, we found out about something that's happening in the Ukrainian schools with the encouragement of educators from the very top. That means the National Minister of Education and the National Minister of Religion. Yeah, they do have a cabinet-level officer in Ukraine known as the Minister of Religion. But with their encouragement, because they are wanting to develop within their nation a biblical worldview and a people who live their lives according to Christian principles. Now, they're not interested in sectarian strife. They do want the Bible taught. And when we went to try to put books there, they had a look at what we were offering them. And they said, this is just the Bible. That's what we want. And isn't that what we're all about? The Bible. It has the power of God within it. And the Spirit of God uses the Word of God. You know, it is the sword of the Spirit. And that is the sword with which He convicts men of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. One teacher in a school where we put Bibles said, my students know I'm a Christian. She's probably speaking in the very broadest sense. But they don't know where I go to church. They're not interested in church dogma, but they are interested in the Bible. And one of the universities there sponsors a biblical Olympiad each year among students from elementary through high school. And here is one of those students making a presentation that you would be delighted to see one of your kids in Lads to Leaders be able to make. Okay?
Oh, that person has one feature.
That we did this year. Altogether, there are over 17,000 schools with 2.3 million students who are able to study the Bible now as a regular part of their school activities. And that's from the early grades all the way through high school. Can you imagine the difference it would make in a country if kids were studying the Bible and principles like this one? This little boy gets it. He may not understand all that he's got hold of yet, but if he continues, can you imagine what kind of a gospel preacher he can be? I think this would fit in very well with the lesson that David has planned for today, if I read these notes here on this pulpit correctly. When Sasha was talking with Denny Cruz once about those early years when he was studying the Bible on his own, he said, "In one day, Jesus became my teacher." Denny had never heard anybody describe his journey to faith like that. So he said, "Sasha, what do you mean by that?" He said, "Well, I read where Jesus said, 'Love your enemies and pray for them and do good to them.' So I made a list of all of my enemies. I began to pray for them by name, and I began to try to treat them better. And then the most amazing thing happened. It wasn't long before I had no enemies. They were all my friends, including the one that was at the top of my list, My mother-in-law. Remember that at that time he was living with his in-laws. And I know firsthand the tensions that can develop under those circumstances. But yet when he began to act like a disciple of Jesus, things changed. And it's this message that he shares with people on the TV program, and he has millions of listeners, viewers, and thousands who respond each year. Tens of thousands that have completed correspondence course. And he says, I don't know how many I've baptized. I know it's way over 1,000. That's what God can do if we'll let him. Thank you.